in finishing up with Gimel and Beis, we'll touch on Bli Nedarim Yirat Hashem. Well, there's the Tosfos about Kol Shekein by Rov by Dinei Mamonos. That we'll spend the whole time on. We'll, this time we'll make a Har and Tosfos, and then move into Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim, everyone saw Reb Chaim? Everyone saw Reb Chaim. So we'll make a Har to Reb Chaim, but it's good. You'll see, it's good. Okay. The Gemara tells us, here on Gimel Beis and Sanhedrin, Yoshia Islay Azlina Basaruba Bidayanim. So the Gemara says that by Dini Mamnos, he learns of Me'akava Chomer from Dini Nefashos. Ma'adach Dini Nefashos, which is Chamiri, so Chomer Dini Nefashos, and you still can have Azlina Basaruba. Amarachman Azil Basaruba. Dini Mamnos Lakosh again. Pashat. Easy Kava Chomer. Dini Nefashos is so Chomer, and you say Azlina Basaruba. For sure, by Dini Mamnos, you say Azlina Basaruba. Fine. Fractus Zakasha, we know the Gemara Bav Basa Tadi Beis. Also, Gemara Bavakam Mem Vav, Gemara Bavakam Chav Zayin, which you probably saw because that's where the other Tosfos is. The Yerushalmi has this also, by the way. We have a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Hochan B'Maman Acharov or not Hochan B'Maman Acharov. The Yerushalmi doesn't have a Machlokas. The Yerushalmi just quotes as a Stama the Dina in Ksubis and in Bavakama that Ain Hochan B'Maman Acharov. Okay, but either way, we pass that way. Shmuel Ain Hochan B'Maman Acharov. We pass like Shmuel, the Dini usually. So, Tosfos Frektakasha, I don't understand. We're saying here at Kal V'Chomer that we should follow Rov by Dini Mamonos from Dini Nefashos. So, Kal V'Chomer might be glat. Tosfos doesn't think the Kal V'Chomer is a nifrach or anything like that. We don't have a perich on the Kal V'Chomer. But it doesn't make sense to Ladina because we would say Ein Holchem Bama'achar Rov. Tosfos Kasha, right? Read inside for a second. Tema. The Bereish HaMochah Peros above Bas Daf Tadi Beis Kamer Shmuel Ein Holchem Bama'achar Rov Amaylo Neilich Mikal V'Chomer Medina Nefashos Damar Hacha. Okay, that's Tosfos Kasha. So before we get to Tosfos' answer, let's get to their rejected answer. Some of you already saw this, but we'll just flesh it out. The Ein Lomar, the Dini Nefashos Gufayu, Lo Azlina Basaruba, Beruba de Lisakaman, Ela Beruba de Isakaman. Gahab Reish Parak Zohar Morer, Mashma, De Bechol Duchter Azlinan Basaruba, Bedini Nefashos, Kigon Rov Nashim Tess Yaldan, that's Beruba de Lisakaman, Beruba de Inshitabi, Beruba de Yach, which is also Beruba de Lisakaman. So Tosfos say, don't give me an answer. Don't say, no. Ein holchem b'maman acharov means you can't follow a ruba de lesa kaman, a rov which is not sort of like statistically, mathematically provable. It's not tangible rov. Rather, it's a floating in the air type of rov. Rov nashim l'tes yaldan. Most women, experientially, it's a rov, right? We experience a majority of women giving birth in 9 months, depending on how good a psicha they do, in the months leading up to that, obviously. So the stam of the teva is that we're going to experience 9 months of pregnancy. So that's not a rove you could put on paper necessarily. It's not observed in that sense. It's observed experientially. So maybe, says Tosfos, you would say that you would only follow Ruba de Isa Kaman by Mamanis, but not a Ruba de Leisa Kaman. That's what Shmuel was trying to tell us. Says Tosfos, no, you can't say that. Why? Because you see, even by Nefashos, you see, we follow Ruba de Leisa Kaman. Again, Rove Nashon L'Tes Yaldan. Ruba de Inshitai Bibur Diarcha. So what you see in Tosfos here is very important. They rejected this answer, but the Havmina slash the Hanacha. The Hanacha, the assumption Tosfos are making, is very critical, very fundamental. Says Tosfos again, the Ein Lomar, don't give me this answer. The Dini Nefashos Gufayu, Lo Azlin Basa Ruba Ruba de Leisa Kaman, Ela Ruba de Isa Kaman. Maybe you'll say that you only follow Ruba de Isa Kaman, a statistical majority that you can actually put numbers to, but not a Ruba de Leisa Kaman. What's Tosfos obviously assuming? Which is stronger? Clearly, Tosfos are assuming that a Ruba de Isa Kaman is stronger than a Ruba de Leisa Kaman. That by saying the Ein Lomar, they're saying you could have thought in Svar this way, Elamai. We see very clearly you follow Ruba de Leisa Kaman even by Nefashos, so you can't say this halakha lemaisa. But in Havana, Tosfos are saying that a Ruba de Isa Kaman is otherwise stronger than a Ruba de Leisa Kaman in some way, and therefore you could have had a Havamina to follow only a Ruba de Isa Kaman and not a Ruba de Leisa Kaman. What's important to note, and I've heard this from Rav Tversky Shlita multiple times, is that, and Tosfos do this in other places as well, maybe we'll see one other soon, hopefully, another, but Tosfos are assuming delo ke ha-shev shmaitza. The shev shmaitza, you look in Aleph, you also look in Beis Tezvav, thinks differently. The Shei Shmaitza has a different approach. Tosfos is telling us that Ruba de Leisa Kaman is weaker than Ruba de Isa Kaman, and Svara, you can understand that, right? In Svara, you would say a Ruba de Isa Kaman, so you could see the Rove. You know what the numbers are. It's 99%. It's 99 to 1, right? You see the numbers in front of you. It's statistical. It's observable. It's mathematical. So you could say Aruba the Iskam, and you understand why it's so strong. Aruba the Lesakam, and it's all pareach ba'avir. Most women do. Some women don't. I don't know what the numbers are exactly. Is that really a strong rove? So to say that Aruba the Iskam is stronger than Aruba the Lesakam. The Shmaitzis is the opposite. The Shmaitzis says that a ruba de isa kaman is weaker than a ruba de lesa kaman. The one that floats in the air, the ruba rove nashim letes yaldan, is a ruba de lesa kaman. That's a stronger type of robe than a ruba de isa kaman. So we're not going to talk about the svar yet, but we'll have to think about what's the svar for that. How could you possibly be chaylik on what Tosis' assumption is over here? But you hear the machlokas, yeah? Tosis think that ruba de isa kaman is stronger. The Shmaitza thinks that ruba de lesa kaman is stronger. Where the Shmaitza come up with his einfall that the ruba de lesa kaman is stronger than a ruba de isa kaman? People looked up the Shmaitza? Looked it up? Oh, I don't know. I gave you the Malachim, but okay, fine. So this is helpful. People haven't seen this yet. So where does the Shmaitza come up with this from? So he has Makoros in the Gemara. It's a cheshbon, not so hard, but just pay attention. So the Gemara in Kedushin on Ayin Gimel and Aleph says as follows. The Pasuk says, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Okay, Mamzer can't marry into Kal Hashem. Says the Gemara, that's Malame, that teaches us, Shem Mamzer Aser Linase Lekal Vadai. That a Mamzer may not marry in to Kal Vadai, meaning someone who sounds like someone who's Vadai Jewish. A Vadai Miklal Yisrael can't marry. A Vadai Kal can't marry a Mamzer. Meaning, if you're a Vadai, not a Mamzer, you cannot marry a Mamzer. That's the way to formulate it. Okay. What if you're a Kal Safik? What if you're a Safik, whether you're Jewish nationality or not? Can you marry a Mamzer? So the emes is Minatari, yeah. Minatori you can marry. Why? Kahal vadai below kahal safik. You see, lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem. Bekal Hashem vadai lo yavo mamzer, says the Gemara. But if it's a kahal safik, if he's a safik, whether he's from the kahal, he can marry a mamzer. And we assume that's aser midarabanan, but midarais da bimater. Good? How do we know if someone's Jewish? Rove. How do we know what's the rove? Gemara Chulon tells us rove bilo zachar ba, right? We have a husband and a wife. Then she becomes pregnant. 9 months later, she has a baby. We assume the baby's Jewish from the marriage. Why do we assume the baby's Jewish in the marriage? It could be that it came from an extramarital affair. It could be from somewhere else, right? So what's the pshat? The pshat is that we have a rove in Maseches Chulin, that rove bilas achar baal. Yeah, it happens. Amir, Rachman al-Tzon, terrible cases like that.
Yeah, but if you pass him, like we pass him that you're Jewish only from the mother, then you don't need to come onto a rove because you know because the mother's a vada. So are we going on rove for if you're part of the column? You know what I was talking about getting killed for
in your
father?
Yeah.
Which is not
the same Indian as here. Why is that? Yeah.
That goes after, I forgot, both parents, then you would have to go after rove.
Yeah. But it's a rove that he's not, meaning let's say it was a case of Eishes Ish, though, not the husband, so he'd be a mamzer. So every case is not whether he's Jewish or not Jewish, meaning it's a suffix whether he has Kedusha, full Kedusha Yisrael. This kid, what do you mean? Yeah, it might be he's from the father, it might be he's from another man. If he's from another man, he's a mamzer. So, we're not gonna call every kid a mamzer, but suffix mamzer we should call them. Says the Gemara, in a different context, you're right, Ellie, but it says the Gemara, Rov Bilas Achar Baal. So we know Bivadayas in such a case, whatever, no, I shouldn't say that, sorry. So we know Al Pi Rov in such a case that this kid is from the father. That's a Ruba, that's a Rov that this kid's from the father. So that's how we know he's a Kal Vadai in the terms of our Gemara. What kind of Rov is that, Rov Bilas Achar Baal? That's a Ruba de Lesa Kama. Nobody did a statistical study and checked how many times. How many times these cases happen? Nobody did a statistical study. We don't know the numbers, yes and no. We don't know a rove of statistics and mathematics. So we assume Ruba de Lesa Kaman. It's experientially true. We observe it to be true that hopefully most cases the child comes from a kasher relationship between the parents. Even so, what do we see in the Gemara? Says the Sheva Shmaitza, what do we see in the Gemara? The Gemara said, Kal Vadai below Kal Safek. What's the definition of Kal Vadai? Someone we know, Al Pi Rov, Ruba de Lesa Kaman, is from his father. Kal Safik would be anyone else. So apparently this rove shafts of Adas. Apparently this rove, a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, of Rov Bilas Achar Baal, makes this kid, this baby, this Tinok, into a Kal Vadai. So what we see here is that Rove makes Vadai. We have Rove Bilazar Rabal, which is how we know this kid is from the father. Therefore, he is Kal Vadai. Rove equals Vadai, correct? Easy, fine. Problem is, says the Shmaitza, there's another Gemara which sounds not like this. The Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Zayin, the Sugya of Takvo Kohen. So the Gemara there says that if you have a case where the guy is doing Maisa Behema, he's counting the Behemos from the deer, as each one's Yotze, he counts it, he points and he counts each Behema. What happens is, Echel Min HaMenuyin, one of the counted animals, jumps, is Chozel deer, runs back in to the into the pen. Minis Arev, it becomes mixed up with all the other animals. So there were a bunch of animals in there, 100 animals in there. He counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then all of a sudden, one of them jumped back in. He doesn't know which one. He doesn't know where it went. It went into a pen with 100 more animals. So there's one guy in there who's already been counted, Potter. And there's 100, 100? I forgot what I said, 100, 150? Anyone remember? You don't remember? Is anyone paying attention? 100, I said, right?
Yeah.
So 100 other animals in there that are all chayiv to now be counted. So what do you do? What's the halacha in such a case? You have one suffix in there and 100, you know, that need. So the din is that the whole deer, the whole pen is pater from meiser, because the Torah says, asiri vadai amar achmana, velo asiri suffix. The Torah says you need asiri vadai, not asiri suffix, and this whole pen is now a suffix, maybe chayiv, maybe not chayiv. First of all, how do we know asiri vadai, not asiri suffix? It's not clear. The Gemara doesn't say, it just says asiri vadai. The Torah just says asiri. So if you look in the psukim, it says ha'asiri, that the tenth. So it's possible that the ha'ayidia points to the fact that it has to be vadas, and it can't be a suffix if it was the tenth or not. Okay. So you have a bunch of sveikos here, says the Gemara. Now, Taisus on Vavam Beis and Vavam Tzia. Again, this Gemara was from Vavam Beis Tozayin Amnalav. Here, Taisus on Vavam Beis, and Dira Masal Kafats, right? Kafats back into the deer. Taisus ask, I don't understand. There's one suffix animal in this whole pen, in this whole deer. There's one suffix animal, and there's a rove, we made it 100 to 1, there's a rove of animals that are not suffix. They're vadai chayiv. So why isn't echad batal b'meya? Why isn't one batal to the rest of the animals in the pen? Isn't that a pashat akasha? Should be rove is nachriya here, that most of the animals haven't jumped out. One jumped out. Okay, so it's batal b'rove. So Tos Rosh give an answer. Tos Rosh say, no, we know from a Gemara in Zvachim, Bali Chaim Chashivi v'lo b'teili. That Bali Chaim, animals, or, you know, living beings, are not batel. They're too chashiv. They're too significant inherently in and of themselves that they're not batel. The problem with this, the Rishonim point out on the Tos Rosh, is that that's a din midrabanan. That Bali Chaim Chashivi v'lo b'teili. So Tos Rosh is trying to pop you on a Daraisa level when with a Derivan claw, so it's a difficult answer. But that's what Tos Rosh suggests first. Maybe Bali Chaim Chashiv lo Batli, that's why they can't have Rove working here. Says Tos Rosh, a second answer, maybe he was bothered by that. He says, Dinich Bashinu Benaidi. Vinomar called the parish Mirub Parish. Why don't you have a different Eitza? Why don't you tell them, okay, maybe it's not Batli Rove for whatever reason. Maybe because Bali Chaim Chashiv. Fine. So I have an idea. Shake all the pen, you know, shake all the animals up, make them all run a stampede out of the pen, and now they'll all leave and call the parish miruba parish, meaning each animal we assume is from the rove, and the rove was obviously animals that are chayiv to be counted. Says the Rush, listen to this, even though it's true that call the parish miruba parish, and if you do nechbashini denaidi, if you do this kunst to make the animals run out of the pen, so that now it's one is porish from the rove, and you have call the parish miruba parish, even if you do that, that will only make it Rove, which is Machriya Safik, as the Torah Safik. But Mikol Makom, this is not Vadai. Says Tos Rosh, even though you'll have a Rove of Rove animals that are chayiv to be counted, that's a Hanhaga. We're Manhig, a Rove, meaning we decide what to do, I'll pee the Rove. But we need a Vadai, Asiri Vadai, Amar Rahmana, we need a Vadai that these animals are chayiv, and accomplishing a Rove doesn't accomplish a Vadai. So, again, the Gemara says that the animal jumped back in. Now it's one suffix versus 100 vadais. So we say, batal barov. No, batal barov. So the Tos Rosh says, it's not batal barov because of chashivi. So it's not batal. Okay, so what about nechbashin denaidi? Make it a rov by having everyone run out, having everyone jump out. So you don't need the mixture anymore. As they run out, they're called a parish, mirub parish. Says Tos Rosh, that would be a rov. You're right. That would actually undo the bittal. That would be rov. However, rove is only turning it into a we know what to do with Torah Safik, but it doesn't give you a vaday. Asiri vaday on Rahmana. The problem, says the Shmaitza, is that I don't understand. Is Rov vaday or Rov Safik? The Gemara in Kedushin told us that you could have a kal vaday al yidei knowing someone's Jewish, or we know someone's Jewish, or we know someone's, you know, folk Kedushin Israel. We know that from the fact that Rov be'ilas achar abal. And the Gemara calls that a vaday, kal vaday. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, according to Tosfos Rush, it's true, you could come up a case where you're going to have a rove of animals that are chayiv in Meiser Behema, and yet, that's not going to be enough to be mechayiv you. Why? Because we need a siri vaday. We have a rove, which is telling you they're chayiv. Yeah, but that's not a vaday, that's a suffix. So what is it? Is rove vaday or rove suffix? Meaning, either way, we paskin alpi rove. But when we paskin alpi rove, are we saying rove taught us what the Metzias is, and vaday, the rove is machriya, or no? We're still besafek, but we'll just go with the rov. You hear the point? That's the steer in the Gemara's. Says the Shmaitza, I have a teretz. The teretz is, it's the difference between a rubid yisakam and rubid lesakaman. The Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about rubid lesakaman, rov bilasachar bal. You show me paper, you went door to door and asked all the couples if this is true, that rov bilasachar bal? No. But that's our feeling, that's our chush. It's a good chush, it's a rubid lesakaman, it's a real chush, just like most women give birth at 9 months, just like rubid inchi, tobi, burdiarcha. We know it experientially. I can't show it to you on paper. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, there the Gemara says that's Kal Vaday. That establishes a Vaday. Oh, what if you have a Ruba de Isa Kaman? 100 animals versus one animal. It's a rove. It's right in front of your face. You see the majority, you see the minority. Says the Gemara, that's a Siri, but it's not a Siri Vaday. Why? It's rove. Yeah, rove is Machpri. Rove is Anhaga. In terms of a Suffolk, we'll know what to do with Taurus a Suffolk. But we don't know Bevadalis what the Metzias is. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, it's the difference between a Ruba de Isa Kaman and a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. A Ruba de Lesa Kaman is Machriya Vaday, a Ruba de Isa Kaman is a lower level. We haven't given a svar yet. This is what the Ktos, same guy, the Shmaitza's Hechrich is to say what he says. This is where he proves it from these Gemaras. Salva Stira. You hear? Fala Cheshman? Okay. One Ha'ara that I heard from Rav Tursky, B'Shem Rav Gershon Zaks, that he pointed out very, very, very interesting, very important, is that l'chora, and we'll tweak this in a second, but l'chora, the Divrei HaShmaitza are tluyim in the shaila of what the makor of Ruba de Lesa Kaman really is. What's the source that we follow Ruba de Lesa Kaman? So that's not, no one should answer, because it would take you a daf and a half to answer, right? That's a Gemara and Kulin from Yud Aleph to Yud Beis, straight through. The Gemara is trying to figure out what the source for Ruba de Lesa Kaman is. So Shakla Tari back and forth, the Maskan is not clear. Rashi, this is the important Marmakum, Rashi and Yubezim and Aleph and Chulin, has two deos about what the source is, the Maskana, for Ruba de Lesa Kaman. His first dea is that the source for Ruba de Lesa Kaman is Halach Lomosh Misina. Second option, he says, no, it's the same Xerz Kazav. We know the Xerz Kazav says, Azlina Basar Ruba, Achari Rabban Lahatais. So just like you follow Ruba de Isa Kaman, so too you follow Ruba de Lesa Kaman. Set up Gershon like this. If you want to say like the Tzos, that there's a difference in level, a Ruba de Lesa Kaman is stronger than a Ruba de Isa Kaman, then you have to say like the first day in Rashi. Because if they both come from the same source, they both come from Azlina Basar Ruba, from Achri Rab Lahatos, so then Meir Tesi, they're going to be Mechalik between the two of them. Meir Tesi, one strong than the other. They're both the same Pasuk in the Torah. It says Azlina Basar Ruba, and you're going to tell me, oh, but this Ruba, not that, or as Eli pointed out from last week's Chabura, Lamdas and Psukim, they don't always go together, am I right? You have to know what Lamdas is to know what Psukim aren't. So you can't necessarily fit it in if you're going to say it's all from the same source in the Torah. Oh, but if Ruba de Lesa Kaman is a Halach L'Moshe Misinai, so it's a whole new din in Gansin. It's a totally different chetza of din. Okay, so Azlina Basar Ruba means one thing when it's Ruba de Lesa Kaman. It may mean something entirely different when it's Ruba de Lesa Kaman. You could say from the Shmaitza that the Ruba de Lesa Kaman is stronger. Now, here's where we're tweaking it. What Rav Gershon made the Hara is not limited to the Shmaitza, right? Tosas also think there's a difference between Ruba de Isa Kaman and Ruba de Lesa Kaman. They just think Isa de Kaman is stronger than Lesa de Kaman. They flip the difference, but they both think they're different. So even for Tosas, you have to say like that day in Rashi. If you're going to say there's a difference between Ruba de Isa Kaman and Ruba de Lesa Kaman, it doesn't matter which direction you go with the difference. You'll have to assume that the source is a different source. You could try to force it in that even though it's from the same Pasuk, they have different natures, but it's much harder to figure out where that would come from. That there's more than one din, but it doesn't really address Lesa Kaman and Isa Kaman. It's different dinim of Rov. We'll get to that. How are we doing on that so far? One other place where Tversky pointed out that you see the low kashmaitza, like what Tosa said, Yadua, there's a shita of Meir. Chayshina lemiuta. We hold loy chayshina lemiuta, right? We go by robes. But there's a shita of Meir. Chayshina lemiuta. Gemara Nivamas Kufya Tes uses it prominently as an example. Probably Willie's learning this with some balabas. I don't know which, but probably someone. So it's in Shas, so I assume he's learning it with the balabas. So the Gemara there says, applies this to a katan and katana. Katan and katana are not miyabim or misyabim. Why not? Shema nimsa sris or islandus when they grow up. So chayshin lemiuta, because the sris and islandus is a miyut. It's a miyut, not likely to happen. But we're chayshish lemiuta, chamim are not chayshin lemiuta. Why is Reb Meir chayshish lemiuta? So you find two explanations in the Rishonim. The first is that it's a dinder abanan. A dinder rabbanan, ena chanami, midaraisa, so we should follow all robes. Midarabanan, Reb Meir was chayshish lemiuta. Okay. The second day in that you find the Rishonim, though, is that he's chayshish on a daraisa level. And even though we hold acharei al nahatos, what happens here is that Reb Meir thinks that we only follow a rove in a case of ruba de isa kaman. But in a case of ruba de leisa kaman, that's gara tfei, and we're chosheshin lemiuta. So you see there as well, I mean again, Ruba the Lesa Kaman is like rove people don't grow up to be islandists or Swiss. That's true, and everyone can confirm that, but nobody did a study. There's no paper printed on how many people grew up and became this or that, and not this or that. There's no statistics, there's no math to back it up. So Ruba the Lesa Kaman, that there's a rove that most people are not an islandist. Says Reb Meir, whoa. If it's a Ruba de Isa Kaman, I'm with you guys. I'm going to follow the rule. But the Rishonim say, what Reb Meir says, is that when you have a Ruba de Leisa Kaman, that's a little weaker, that's a little flimsier, so he's not willing to follow a rove in that case, and that's why he's Choshesh Lemiuta. There's a Machlokas Chacham and Reb Meir, so it could be a Chachamim disagree and say, no, a Ruba de Leisa Kaman is stronger than a Ruba de Isa Kaman. But that makes the Machlokas very far apart. The Chacham think a Ruba de Leisa Kaman is stronger, and Reb Meir thinks a Ruba de Leisa Kaman is weaker. More likely is that one thinks one's stronger, one thinks they're equal. So it sounds like this is the Lokash might sound that way, that you see Reb Meir's sheet says clearly that a Ruba de Leisa Kaman is weaker, and to not make a Machlekes min a Katze at a Katze, you want to assume the Chacham don't disagree and say, no, Ruba de Leisa Kaman is Spitz Rove. So Mistama, they just assume they're equal. So if that's the case, then these Rishonim are also the Lokash might as well. Yeah.
In terms of being taller than the Korah's from
Mashiach, right.
Maybe one could be more Pasha, one could be more pashut than the other in Svara, but still have a different, let's say,
yeah.
Tosos,
yeah.
But once you learn it out, it's more chamer than Reb Isa.
Why, like, what did that? What do you mean? You, first, yeah, what's the mechanism there? What do you mean? What gave it a boost? What,
It's more before the Torah, Acher Av Mahathas.
That it's talking about a Ruba de
Isa Kaman.
Okay.
Dayanam already.
Yeah, good.
I, is it also a Raya for Ruba de Isa Kaman? So the Gemara hums back and forth. Let's say
so the Pasuk is more about Ruba de Isa Kaman?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that one is less common.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. What's Takap Shat Neshmaitza? That a Ruba de Leis Kaman is stronger? You hear Tosis, no? Ruba de Isa Kaman should be stronger. You could see the rove in front of you. You know the numbers. You know this is 90%, 50%, 70%. You know the numbers, then you could decide what's the rove, what's the meat, and how we should go. A Ruba de Leis Kaman is Poreach Ba'avir. Yeah, experientially, it's very nice that you feel like this is a rove, but since when do feelings dictate, you know, what the halacha should be? Well, is a Ruba de Leis Kaman really could be stronger?
No, is there? Ruba de Isa Kaman, you have.
Oh, excellent. So I'll say it out. Willie's always ahead. So I'll say it out like this. Very good. Rav Tversky talks about this all the time. What's geshmak about this yisod is that I've heard this from him in the context of learning masechtas, and I've also heard it from him in like Thursday night shmusin, because this is a yisod in learning, and it's a yisod in nishmaitza, but it's also a muser haskel. So we tend to think of rov and miyut in mathematical terms. And if you think about rove and meat in mathematical terms, so then if you see a rove of 90% in front of you, that is stronger than just guessing that most women give birth in a certain month of the year, in a certain month of their pregnancy, right? That's weaker, that second one. Why? Because I could observe the rove and I could observe the fact that this is a stronger possibility, so that's mathematically sound. It's a mathematical equation. But that's a toss. That is the wrong way to think about halacha and din, and certainly lamdas. Math is taloi in a rov lefaneinu, in a kamus, in percentages. Meth is taloi in those things. That's true. But learning and halacha and dinim is not taloi in meth. The reason why Ruba Leisa Kaman is adif, according to the Shmaitza, even greater than a Ruba de Isa Kaman, is because by the case of a Ruba de Isa Kaman, you also have a Miyat Bifaneinu. And in the case of a Ruba de Leisa Kaman, you don't have a Miyat Bifaneinu. Meaning, in the case of a Ruba de Isa Kaman, you have 60% in front of you that this is good. You also have 40% staring you in the face saying, I might be what you're eating, I might be what you're doing, right? You have that 40% Miyat of bad staring you in the face. That's a scary thing. In the case of Ruba de Leisa Kaman, there's no Leidas HaSafik. There's just this experience of this usually happens. How many times doesn't it happen? How many times does it? I don't know the numbers. I just know this is the Derech HaOlam. The Derech HaOlam is that this is going to go this way. Women are going to give birth that many months into their term. These people usually do make a mistake about Iber the Yarcha. So you don't have a Miyat Bifanecha. That takes away the sting of the Miyat, and it makes the Rov much easier to rely on a certain level. Mashal Ma'adar Adoma, this is again straight from Rav Tversky's Mashal. Imagine a guy goes for a walk outside, and he's walking the street. So he knows, experientially he knows, that Rahman al-Islam, car accidents happen all the time. Sometimes you're a driver, sometimes you're a pedestrian, but car accidents happen all the time, Rahman al-Islam. LMI, he still takes his walk. Why? Because he knows there's a rove, there's a good majority, and you know every day of his life proves it, that he's not going to get hit, Rahman al-Islam, by a car right now. There's a rove that he's okay. Now, what's the vart in that rove? The vart is that there's no latest asafik for him. He knows of the fact that car accidents exist, but there's nothing showing him a car accident's going to happen right now, so he could walk, relying on the rov. Let's say the same guy goes out the next day for a walk on the street, and as he's getting into the street, he sees his friend, his next-door neighbor, we'll call him Lote, and he's totally drunk, he's totally wasted. And he gets into his car and starts the car and starts driving in his direction. So what's this guy thinking now? Maybe it's not such a good day for a walk, right? What do you mean? The statistics are the same. Most people don't get hit by cars when they walk on the street. He's still part of that rov. And this is still the same street as yesterday. Still the same cars in the street. Everything's the same. What's the difference? The Miyat is Bifanecha. He knows there's a drunk driver on the road. Like, he knows that's happening right in front of his face. So how does he take a walk right then? That's the Pshat Neshmaitza. That a person can learn Al Pi Rov what the Hanaga will be, even Bivadais, by Ruba de Leisa Kaman, because there's no Miyat Bifanecha. There's no stira to the rov. There's nothing going against that rov. So you just have your experience of what should happen. Okay, so you could follow that bivadais. In a case of Ruba de Isa Kaman, true, you have the rov in front of you, but you also have a glaring stira to that rov, which is the miyat. Okay, we'll paskin like the rov. But that's not necessarily v'taras vaday. That's going to be a little lower level. Why? Because it's always in contrast to the miyat bifanecha. So there's a leda sasafik in front of you, then maybe you understand a little more why the Shmaitza could tell you the exact opposite of Taisvis and the other Rishonim, that a Ruba de Leisa Kaman is actually stronger than a Ruba de Isa Kaman. Yeah?
I'm not fully getting it. It sounds like an emotional thing.
Emotional is like a funny way of putting it, but it doesn't mean emotional. It means not mathematical, not tangible. That's true, but not emotional, experiential.
Well, it makes it rigorously true. In other words, it sounds...
Because we have... That's I think, the Musar Haskell here, is that... This is how he said it, I'm just quoting. The way Western society kind of makes us think is that rigor translates as mathematically sound or provable. Willie's a math major, so obviously he's thinking this is ridiculous. The odds are X and Y, and they're on a graph, and they go like this. Not the right thing, right? Okay, whatever. The odds are a certain way. There are numbers here. How could you ignore numbers? But halacha isn't math. It's not academic. Halacha is telling us that if you have a miyat bifanecha, that is a glaring stira to your rov. We'll still pass them like rov. But you have a rov with something that's being megareya from the rov. What's being megareya? The fact that you know there's a 40% chance that you're wrong. In the case of Ruba de Leisa Kaman, we don't have any numbers. So true, we don't have any numbers on the rov. We also don't have any numbers telling us that we're wrong. So experientially, we know that Ruba de Leisa Kaman is true. Experientially, it is true. You don't doubt the fact that rov women give birth in the ninth month. You don't doubt that. I mean, maybe now with studies you can have exact numbers, but I'm saying at the time when we didn't have studies for that, you don't doubt that truth. LMI, you just can't put numbers to it. But the fact that you can't put numbers to it is an advantage because you don't have anything going against what you know to be true. It's not, emotional is like, it's the wrong word, but you're thinking the right thing. It's not emotions versus logic. It's
perception.
It's reality. Like, meaning that is the reality. You don't have a miyat b'fanecha. You don't have a leida sasafik. So you don't have numbers to crunch. But that's and again, Tosas on the other side of this. There are Rishonim on the other side of this. So it could be part of the machlokas. But you could hear why if there's no tangible leida sasafik, then your rope doesn't get beat up by it. Yeah. So back to Tosas. So we're going on the Shmaitza and Tosas. So that's the first thing you have to know about. That's a big idea. You know, I have the Bikias and the Shmaitza. Tosas asked this Kasha. We got to this because Tosas asked this Kasha, right? Because the Gemara says, learn from a Kal v'chomer, dine nefashas yifal rov Kal v'chomer b'dine mamonis. Correct, Tosas the Kasha. What do you mean? We know from the Gemara in Baal Basra, ein holim mamach harov. Tosas say an answer over here with Tzarech Lomar. The ruba l'rajiz avni, lo chashav kihanach ruba. That rove that the Gemara is talking about, what you sell your ox for, that's a rove garua. It's not as strong as a regular rove. Hilkach lo samchina nahach ruba b'dine mamonis. Tosas don't tell us what the greyasa on the rove is. That's what you probably look at in the Kunshas Svekos. If you want to look more, other than Klavav and Kunshas Svekos, the Shmaitza in Dalad Vav, the Avnei Miluim, same guy, in Mem He Beis, and the Shar Yosher in Gimel Gimel. All talk about this as well. What's the reyasa on this rove? What's bad about a rove of Ruba le Raja Zavni? One thing to note, in the Lashon HaTosas, if you read it again, Tzarech Lomar, the Ruba le Raja Zavni, lo chashav kihanach ruba, hilkach lo samchin nahach ruba, bidine mamonis. From the Lashon HaTosas, it sounds like this rove of Raja is a rove garua specifically in dine mamonis. Sounds like in dine nefashos, it wouldn't be a rove garua. That's impossible, because what the Gemara is saying is there's a Kal v'chomer from dine nefashos to dine mamonis, and the Kal v'chomer would be nifrach if there was some difference. So it must be Tosas mean bidine mamonos and dine nefashos klape shark kol toro kula. It's a difficult read, but it's the only way to read Tosas. There's no other way to read it. Okay, that's Tosas in our Masechta, but Tosas in Bava Kamma on Chav Zayin Mabez, you probably saw it. Give a different tarot. Tosas in Bava Kamma Chav Zayin Mabez say tema ma tam ein holchem mamonach harov leisi be kal v'chomer dine nefashos k'damar par kamma d'sanhedrin. That's our Tosas kasha. Pay attention to this line. Ve'afilu ruba d'leisa kamman. Okay, that's again, Tosas are making the same assumption, right? Even a Ruba d'Leisa Kamman. Oh, because Ruba d'Leisa Kamman is weaker, not like the Shmaitza. Good. Says Tosas the answer. V'yesh loimar, the hasam gavai dayanim, shiny. The case of dayanim in Sanhedrin is different. D'chashiv miyat didhu k'misha eino. The miyat dayanim, who are opposing the majority in terms of the psak over here, are in the minari. I'm sorry, are in the minari, and therefore are kamisha eno. They're kamisha eno, they're non-existent. They don't register. So if you saw Reb Chaim deals with this point. What is the pshat of kamisha eno, basically? What does it mean that the dayanim who are in the minority, again, two say chayiv, one says pater, zakai. So that one, that minority, is kamisha eno. What in the world does that mean, kamisha eno? So Reb Chaim deals with that, but Reb Chaim deals with it by asking a question first, right? He says tzarachin on this whole din in general of rov by the anim. I don't understand. The Torah tells us Elohim, 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 however you come to it. The Torah tells us that you need a base din of 3 dayanim. Or, by nefashos, a base din of 23 dayanim. Whatever the case might be. How could you have a din of rov? How could you have a psak from a base din of 2 when the Torah says you need 3 dayanim to pass the case? A base din needs to be 3 people. And you have 2 people paskening. Aren't you mechusar in the minyan? Is lashon again. It's not lashon of Chaim. Because we don't have the Lashon Chaim as our notes. But isn't that problematic? Don't you have a case here where you're having a psak halacha, a gemar din that's being paskined by a beis din of less than 3? Hare, it's a rove of 2, and the other guy is disagreeing. So how is that okay? How does that work? Right? Chaim's kasha? Oh. So Chaim answers by explaining that there are really 2 dinim of rov, and he wants to know what the source for one of the dinim is, right? There are 2 dinim of rov. Trei gavne barov. First is rov is, quote, mevara umachriya es asafik. You have a shayla, you have a rov and a miyat, we pass in like the rov. So rov is mevara umachriya es asafik. Okay. Beis, there's a second din, a kind of sug of using rov, of azlina basar ruba, where basically there's no safik at all. You have a taroves of lach belach, 2 food items, lach belach. We say rubo kikulo. What does that mean, rubo kikulo? It means something's batal barov because the rubo is kikulo, meaning we look at the rove as the entire identity of this mixture in its totality. Aye, there's a miyut of something else, a davar lach mixed in over there. That's batal barov, meaning, as Reb Chaim is going to say later again, the lashon that we have quoted from the notes, is going to say the miyut is mishapich, to be like the rove. So the first din is that you have a suffix, 55, 45, 70, 30. So we go like the 70, not the 30. Rove over miyut. The second din of Azlina Basar Ruba is a totally different, seemingly a totally different idea, which is rubo kikulo, that sometimes the rove overpowers and therefore defines the entire mixture or the entire entity which has this ta'aroves in it. Fragt Reb Chaim, where in the world does that din come from? Remember this kasha for later. Where in the world does this din come from? Rubo kikulo? What's the source for that? Where do you see a precedent for that? So Reb Chaim says that the makar, the source for the idea of rubo kikulo, is our gemara. It's our din of Sanhedrin. How so? He says, Hine kasha. As we started with, how could it be that you follow the rove of Dayanim by a Sanhedrin? Hare, you need a basin of three to paskin on this din. And you have a basin of two passing on this din. Very nice that the other guy's a miyut, but he's not now the third guy. Is he? Oh, says Reb Chaim, he is. Al karchach deyesh lam tziruf. It must be that all three of these guys end up with a tziruf. They join together. V'kulam biyachad gomer mesadin. They all are gomer the din together. V'al karchach amrinan b'hach ruba kikula. It must be we're using the klal, the din, the idea, the concept of rubo kikulo here. V'imkein harayika klar kol minin ha-sanhedrin. V'imtsein ulemeidem yach demahani ruba de-sanhedrin. V'chashiv ruba kikula ba'amit nishapech mo arov v'nasa karov. Says Reb Chaim, you can answer everything in one fell swoop. What's going on over here? What's going on over here is that when you have a rove of a dayanim saying one way and a miyut saying another way, the rove overpowers the miyut and they all become one chetza of basin of three that are paskening. Ah, if that's the case, then you see rove makes the last dayan kamisha eno. How does rove make the last dayan kamisha eno? Rove is just machriya mavar. Oh, must be there's the second din of azlina basar ruba, which is rubo kikulo, which means that when you have a rove in a ta'aroves like this of dayanim who are zakai and chayiv paskening, when you have a rove of one over the other, then the entity becomes one defined by the rove, rubo, kikulo, and now the miyut is mishapech lios karov. So that one dayan who is shrying Zakai ends up being mishapech, he flips to be identifying with the people who are saying pot, who are saying chai. Rubo kikulo. So you see the din of rubo kikulo, and Reb Chaim says this is taka the source for it, because again, it says lina basarov, that's what the pasuk Acher Av Nahatos teaches you, Acher Av Nahatos, azlina basaruba, and the case in our Gemara is one of rubo kikulo. So you have the source, and you have the answer to his original question of how it could be that we paskin al yedei rov, when hare you don't have all dayanim. The answer is you do have all dayanim al yedei rubo kikulo. Somewhat clear presentation of Reb Chaim that you already saw? Fine. Be'emes, Reb Reuven Margolis was mechavin to this Reb Chaim Shmak. In Margolis Yam Oz Dalid, he was mechavin to this Yisod, and he's mitzayin a very, very Gishmak Arai. Very Gishmak Arai. The Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed, in the Sugya of Toz Beis Din, says the following interesting halacha. Try to get this right. If you have a Toz B'dvar Mishnah, so then the Din is Chozer. Batal starts again. Nothing to talk about. It wasn't a real Din. We're going to have this Gemara in Daf Vav, but the minhag of Salvation is to skip the sugya. So we might say something about it, we might skip it, we'll see. But it comes up again later in the Masechta. So Taz B'Dvar Mishnah, the din goes away. What about Taz B'Shigal Das? It's not that you forgot a Mishnah. It's not that you forgot a din in Shulchan Aruch. It's not that you forgot something that's Mufurish somewhere. You knew the Gemaras, you knew the Halacha, you didn't realize that, I'm using one term out of two, you didn't realize the sugyan da alma, the way people usually paskin, is like this mandamar. It's machlokes that wasn't mukhra, and you paskin like the one that it's not the minhag dayanim to follow, let's say. So that's a tavas b'shikul adas. You didn't forget a mishnah, mefurish a mishnah, but you got it wrong based on your, you know, deduction. In that case, the din is that the din is omeid, but the dayan is mishalim mebeso. You have to pay back for the loss that the the one who lost incurred. What about the following case? It's great. Let's say you have three dayanim and they're paskening on a dini mamonis. Two of them say chayiv, one of them says zakai. So the guy ends up being chayiv al pi rov, right? Two chayiv, one zakai, they become chayiv. Good. Turns out it was a tavs b'shigul hadas. Really, the guy is potter from paying. They paskin chayiv based on a rov. It was a tavs b'shigul hadas on the part of dayanim. How do we split the payment? Like, who pays for that mishali mibeso? So the Gemara says, we split into three. The two dayanim who paskin chayiv wrongly have to pay back a third each. And the last dayan who paskin zakai correctly doesn't have to pay because he didn't do anything wrong. Frechter of Rum Margolis Akasha. I don't understand. Just split it half. Only two dayanim said chayiv. The other guy said zakai. So this psak of chayiv, this tos b'shikul hadas, was on the part of two dayanim. So they should pay 50-50, and the victim should get the full payment. Why are we splitting into three chunks and having only the guys who made the mistake pay for it? Why not split it 50-50? Says the Magal Yisayam, you see, like Reb Chaim said, he doesn't quote Reb Chaim, you see, like Reb Chaim said, that's the pshat. When they paskin the Aliday Rove, two versus one, that this guy is chayiv to pay, all three of them paskin as a basin, chayiv. So when you split the money to pay it back, Mishalim Mibeso afterwards, you have to split into thirds because three people passed in the Shaila. Al Yedei, Rubo, Kikulo, all three of them passed in the Shaila. Okay, you're not going to actually make that third guy pay because he didn't do anything wrong. You're not going to make him pay for saying the right psak. But he is part of the psak. He was one of the poskim because Al Yedei, Rubo, Kikulo, like Reb Chaim said, it's Nimseis, the Miat is Mishapech, Leos Kurov, all three of them passed in the Shaila. Split the payments into three, a third, and the other one gets left off. Yishmak. That's what Reuven Margolia says from the Gemara later. Again, like Reb Chaim's Yisod. Two other smuchim lakach in Reb Chaim. First of all, and this is from the footnotes to the new edition of Reb Chaim, the stencils. People use that or people use the old ones? If you, I have one at home. If you want me to bring it in, you don't really need me to bring it in for this. But in the new ones, they have in the footnotes there a tzion to Reb Shlomo Hyman's shirim on Sanhedrin, and in Sanhedrin Chav Tes on the Mishnah says Echad Omer Chayiv, Echad Omer Zakai. One dayan says Chayiv, one argues Zakai. Afilu Shnayim Mezakno Shnayim Mechayivin, or two, right? The Echad Omer in Yodea. So you have one Chayiv, one Zakai, one in Yodea, or two Chayiv. One in Yodea, or two Zakai, one in Yodea. The point being, there's one guy who's not chipping in. Yosifa Dayanim. You got to add Dayanim. You can't paskin based on that. Says Rashi, Be'afa gav that you have a polygalai, you have a batal miyuta. Why not? I have two guys saying chayiv, and one guy saying I don't know. So, let's say that guy would say, Pater, Zakai, what would he paskin? Chayiv, there's a rove here. So, Viter. There's two guys saying chayiv and one guy saying, I don't know. Good. So you have a rove of two saying he's chayiv. So why can't we paskin based on that? It's still the same two. What's the difference? That's what Rashi says. V'afagav the ihava palagalayu have a batel b'miuta. That lashon is good. Batel b'miuta. Listen. Ki amar en yodea. When this guy says en yodea, as opposed to arguing, me and you say chayiv and the third guy says pater. That's arguing. But let's say he says in Yodea. Ki Amar in Yodea, Havi Kimisha Liyasha Bedin, Benimsa Adin Beshnayim, Ve'anan Tlasa Ba'inan. Says Rashi, if one guy says Chayiv against two other guys who say Pater, or vice versa, then at least everyone's paskining, and we could say, oh, there's a mixture of Psak, Ruba Kikula will go Chayiv or Pater depending on the rove. But when two people paskin and one guy stays quiet and says, I don't know, you don't have three people paskining. So you can't mix this together and say that the Psak came out all day three Dayanim. Hare, one of the guys didn't paskin at all. If there's a he's menaged, he has a different psak, and they're going against each other, we'll use Rubo Kikulo and say it's batal barov, batal b'muto, and it's hapek liyot karov. But if he's not saying anything at all, then the psak was yosei al yedei two dayanim, and we need three dayanim. Rashi lechora is saying the same yisod as Reb Chaim is pointing out, that the psak din that's yosei al yedei rov dayanim is a psak din that's yosei al yedei gimel dayanim. The haraya, if one of those guys says eni odea, you have the same rove of two, but it's not considered a psak halacha. You have to be yosifu adayanim. Why? You still have two dayanim paskening. The answer is, we never go by two dayanim. We go by three dayanim. If one guy is menaged against them, and we can have a rubu kikulo, then we have three dayanim paskening. But if you're one guy saying, I don't know, it doesn't work. Another interesting, I don't know if it's smuchim l'kach or related point, or you just have a better havana of it now that you have Reb Chaim, this very pair pointed out, is that, we mentioned this on Monday, that on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Gimel and Beis, the Gemara has the Shak of Tari, Reb Yoshia, in Reb Yoshia's Shita, let's say, about whether we follow Rov or not. So in that instance, the Gemara says, if we don't have a makar for the idea of Azlina Basaruba, according to Reb Yoshia, then if you had Beis Omrim Chayev and one saying Zakai, he'd be Chayev, the Gemara quotes a Bryce or whatever. So the Gemara says, Nema Delok Reb Yoshia, meaning Reb Yoshia wouldn't hold of a case of two saying Chayev and one saying Pater, that they're going to go by Chayev. Why? Because in this stage, Reb Yoshia doesn't have a concept of Azlina Basaruba. Says Rashi, Deik Reb Yoshia, Kevin the Shlishi Mikra Yalavlu, Velav Misham Nota, we don't have that concept of Nati Alpi Rov. Tzarech Shetei Das Shlosh Tan Shaveh. The Havamina is that without Azlina Basaruba, you would need all three Dayanim to agree. The Meiri says the same thing, that you would need all three Dayanim to agree. Now, we don't pass in that way. We pass in you go by Rov. But what you see from the Havamina, now you have a little bit better Havana in it. What you see from the Havamina is that, I don't know if you, not the ideal, but the default would have been that you need all three Dayanim to Paskin. Azlina Basaruba comes and says, not that, never mind, you don't need, get ready guys, never mind, you don't need, get ready for this, not that you don't need three, rather, you already have three. You already have three. Why do you already have three? Because Ayidei Rov, Ruba Kikulo, all three are saying the same thing. Okay, this is very gishmak. Stay with me for a second. I have two more really gishmak things to get out. It really is like giving birth, you're right. I read in, there's a book called Kinyan HaTorah, which is by Rav Avad Yosef Toledano, about, it's not a biography, it's Al Seder, the sixth parak in Pirkei Avos, the Kinyan HaTorah, and it's he writes Maisim from his grandfather, Rav Avad Yosef. So he has in there a Maisa that there were Rav Avad Yosef and two Rabbanim were sitting on a Din Torah one time, and someone came in just to shmooze, and this guy was Mechaber Sfarim, lower tier than Rav Avad Yosef. And I think he made a comment, something along the lines, or someone made a comment to Rav Avad Yosef, that this guy puts out a sefer like every other month. And you, like, it takes you a year or 2 years every time you want to put a sefer in between. Like, what's this guy, a bigger Talmud Chacham than you? So he said, no, it's the difference between a Tarnagolas and a human being. A Tarnagolas, whenever they want to have an egg, so they lay an egg. Every day they lay an egg, no big deal. But me, if I want to make a baby, meaning I want to make a sefer, so it takes 9 months of preparing and tircha and labor, and then you could have a chash of a baby. If you want to have tarnagolas, so you could put on a sefer every month. But if you want to have a chash of a zach, so you have to put in the time and the effort to yield those peros. So it's not a far off mashal. It's okay. So listen to this. The Gemara, if you follow the Gemara in Daf Gimel and Beis in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says as follows. The following Gemara after the one we were just talking about. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Dine Mamanas Bishlosha. You need three dayanim for dinei mamonos. Rabbi Omer b'chamisha. No, you need chamisha. You need five dayanim. Why? Kedei sheyigamer hadin b'shlosha. So that the gemar din be al yidei shlosha. Good so far? Okay. What's the pushback? Atu b'tlasa mi lo gamar din b'trei. The chachamim also have a gemar din. Meaning, it sounds like the gemar thinks at this stage, kedei sheyigamer hadin b'shlosha, you're not going to have a gemar din. Says the Gemara, no, you do have a Gemara Din, even when you have three Dayanim. You have a Gemara Din like they try. Two Dayanim make a Gemara Din. And it's the Gemara, no, that's not what it meant. Hachi Gemara. Mipnei she Gemara Din b'shlosha. Meaning, not that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there's no Gemara Din unless you have five Dayanim. He wants the Gemara Din to be al yedei shlosha. He wants that the Gemara Din be done al yedei three Dayanim. If you have three Dayanim, the Gemara Din could be al yedei two Dayanim. That's not enough. He wants to be three Dayanim. Alma kasavar tlasa ki ksivi big Gemardina ksivi. You need three in the Gemara Din, not just that you have three sitting there and two paskin, you need three in the actual Gemara Din. What's mashma from the Gemara, first of all, is that Rabbi Yehuda holds you need three dayanim to say the psak halacha, you need them to paskin the three dayanim. That's why you need five, to have a majority of three. The Chachamim, we could ignore Rabbi Yehuda for now, the Chachamim don't argue on that, meaning they don't say, oh, you got us. They stick with what they said before, which is that, what do you mean? If I have three dayanim, I have a Gemara Din, ayidei, two. Isn't that problematic for Reb Chaim? or what's the machlokas about? Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Chaim and Necham don't. Meaning, like, what's this machlokas? Who holds what over here? It sounds like the Chachamim don't need all three Dayanim to pass in the Shaila. So, Elamai, that's not what this isn't the Kashan Rav Chaim. It's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about something entirely different over here. This is really gevaldic. Rabbi Yehuda is coming up with a Chiddush Din over here. A Chiddush Din. And that's what the Gemara is trying to say at the end. Tlasa ki ksibi, Gemara din ksibi. Everyone agrees that a rov of two with a mir of one is a psak din of three. Like Rabbi Chaim said, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Rabbi Chaim agrees, everyone agrees to that. That's pashut. The question here of gemar din is not a question of paskening the shayla, it's a question of gemiras hadin. Meaning, there are two stages that we could be referring to when we say the word gemar din. We could be referring to how the din was nigmar, or the technical thing that we usually refer to as gemar din, the rendering of the psak halacha. Hachlatas hadin, the decision-making process, versus chitach hadin, rendering the psak halacha. Everyone agrees that a psak halacha has to be rendered by three dayanim. No question whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda is saying a chiddush over here. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even the gemar din, meaning even the decision, has to be reached by three dayanim. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that you use rov, three dayanim out of five are going to say chayiv, right? You're still going to use rov. But he needs three dayanim to decide on the psak din. How many dayanim need to paskin din? Avada, the whole basin needs to paskin, whether it's 3, 5, 23, however many on the basin. Avada, all the basin has to paskin with one voice through Ruba Kakulo. But the decision has to be reached, according to Rabbi Yehuda, amazing, in quantity, by three dayanim. A chiddush. Has to be reached by three dayanim. Selcham, no! The decision could be reached by two. The decision, that's not against Reb Chaim. The decision is reached by two, and then paskin by all three, based on Ruba Kakulo. But the decision, the hachlata, the gemar din, in the sense of the gemiras hadin, that can be reached by two dayanim. With rov, all three of them will then be paskin in the shayla. So this machlokas is not touching what Reb Chaim is talking about. Just a quick smuchim lakach in Lashon Chazal, in terms of the words gemar din, if you flip to vavel and beis, at the very top, the gemara says, very, very top, nigmar hadin, Iyata Rashai Livtsoa. You have a Gemar Din, Nigmar Din. You cannot now switch and pivot to Paskin Al-Yidei Pshara. What does Nigmar Din mean? So Zok Rashi, Nigmar Din, Taich She'amru Ish Ploni, Ata Zaka, Ish Ploni Ata Chayev. Gemar Din, the way we think of Gemar Din. There's some like end stage over here. Tosas say, what are you talking about? And Tosas have a problem with this based on the Lashon, but Tosas, I say, what are you talking about? Ploni Ata Chayev, Ploni Ata Zakai? The Din's over. You can't switch. Of course, you can't switch the pshara. Then you already passed in the shayla. Says Tosas, no. Nigmar hadin here means something else. Nigmar hadin means that the dayanim reached a conclusion. They didn't pass yet. They didn't say chayiv or zakai, but they reached a conclusion. What do you see? The words nigmar hadin don't have to be limited to meaning they decided they passed. It can mean they decided, meaning they came to a conclusion. That's what our gemara is talking about. Chacham say nigmar hadin al yedei shnayim. Not the chas v'shalom, you could pass in a case of Yishnayim. The Torah says three. You need a full basin. No. They could reach the conclusion al yedei rov of Shnayim, and then all three of them will pass him through the mechanism of Ruba Kakula, Bit of Kibirov, like Reb Chaim taught us. And this Gemara is not a steer at that at all. Rabbi Yehuda says a chiddush, that not only do you have to have the whole basin paskin, but you actually need three to come to the conclusion. Whoa, I don't know where that chiddush comes from, that's fascinating. But apparently the Gemara says, he read the psukim to mean that kiksivi tlasa, when the Torah says that you need three, tlasa kiksivi, the Gemara dina ksivi. Chap? I want to say one more har, so people chap? Okay, one more short har, I believe another. Very geschmack, food for thought. I need to stick my payas in water or something, like a rugged shower. I need to like, wait, what?
The Maharam Chav also has to have some sort of like...
The what?
The Shita Koyd in the...
Maharam and Chavid.
Oh, yeah. Not only Pesachim over here, is it? Because
he has the Mosek that they decide and they take a vote and then... Psaka is they have
the
mirrors to change to
the
Gemara Din there.
You're saying he has this
concept
also.
Like what they're deciding before right. the actual Psaka.
Right, right.
What's the halachic Psaka.
Right, right. And I think we'll see this.
The Rav Korib, the Rosh Hashiva, that is two steps.
I was going to say that. That's what I was just going to say. It's different, but it's similar. I mean, that's about the Masa Matan stage. But you see that there are stages in Pesach Halacha, absolutely. And that Maram Ibn Chabib might be a good raya for that as well. That it exists. The Gemara is a raya.
Right, that's a different... That's that he can't argue. This is kind of more of a melee, right? His point is that the Miut can't has to change their opinion. They have to right. Now the Foel paskin like the rogue. This is more of a Alpidin.
There are stages, yeah, right? Mamela.
Okay.
I have 3 minutes. It might take me five. Would the Olam indulge me to give birth to this last point? It's mamish. I think the Olam is going to happen. I think. Okay. Rav Chaim started the kasha. Well, really, he started with a different kasha, but he came to a kasha where he said, "What's the mucker for this concept of ruba kagula?" We know there's a concept of ruba kagula. Where in the world does that come from? Said Rav Chaim, "Ruba kagula. What's the source?" So he came a whole stickle Torah, and he came and explained the source is our Gemara, Dayanim, Azlina Basaruba. You see, ruba kagula that the rove is mehapech lemiyat to be like them. In the footnotes, the new additions to the Rav Chaim, so they quote from Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, who has a glaring kasha, I think. The Gemara Nazir on Mem Beis Manalf. The Gemara Nazir Mem Beis Manalf says as follows. Amar Mar. The Kulam Shagilchul Shalobatar, a Nazir who shaves Shalobatar, O Shashiru Shtei Sairos, or he leaves two hairs over, Lo Asuv Lo Kulam. That does not count. You got to shave the whole head entirely. Won't say it. Amar Vacha Breder Vika. Zos Omeris. What does this teach us, this din? That you have to shave the entire head. You can't even leave over a hair or two. Zoso meres, rubo kekulo, midaraisa. There is a concept of rubo kekulo, midaraisa. Wait, what do you mean? We're saying rubo is not kekulo over here. No, the Gemara says, mimai. Midigal yirachman agabi nazir biyom hashvi yigalchenu. You see, by nazir, you need dafka kulo. You need the whole head to be shaved. You can't leave over two hairs. What do you see? Hachuhu da'adi kekulo. Dafka by nazir, you need every single hair to be shaved. Haba alma rubo kekulo. You see that in Gansa Torah, Kol Torah Kula, you see that Rubo is really Kekula. Okay, Gishmak and Gemara. And what's the obvious kasha? Reb Chaim is moving all over the place trying to find, he's bending through, bending over backwards, he's twisting through hoops and all these things to try to figure out what's the makor, what's the source for Rubo Kekula. Says Reb Beryl, it's a Gemara Nazir Mem Beis Manalf. The Gemara says, from this that we see that Rubo Kekula doesn't work, and the Torah had to tell us that it doesn't work by Nazir, clearly, it works by Kol Torah Kula. A mucker for Ruba Kekula. Reb Chaim missed the Gemara? No. So what's Pshat? So that's Reb Beryl's kasha. He leaves the Tzarchin. For reasons discussed earlier, I'll share with you off the record why he didn't answer it. But maybe we could suggest the Teretz. Maybe a Teretz like this. But think about this. You have to let this sit a little bit and percolate. But at least food for thought. Yesh l'chalik between two types of Ruba Kekula. Sometimes Ruba Kekula means, and we're going to come back to these sodas from before, sometimes Ruba Kekula means that you do not need Kula. Doing Rove suffices. I don't know. I'm not sure if this is true, but you need to drink a kos yayin for Kiddush. Or for Dalet Kosis. So you don't drink the whole kos, you drink Rov kos. It's Ruba Kekula. It's Ke'ilu, you drink the whole kos. Are you allowed to paskin? Let's say a kos was Revius, and you drink three quarters of a Revius. So you drink Rov kos, so you're Yotze, because Ruba Kekula. So it says, if you drink the whole kos, can you paskin a Shaila now? Or is it like you drink a Revius of wine al Pialacha? Obviously not. Ruba Kekula here means you don't need to drink the whole thing. You only need to drink Rove. Rove suffices. That's what Ruba Kekula sometimes means. Sometimes Ruba Kekula means something else. Sometimes Ruba Kekula means Mihut Nishapech LaRov. Not that you don't need Kulo, but that you have Kulo Al Yedei the Rove. Not that the Rove suffices, but that the Rove defines what you've done as Kulo. By Nazir, what's the Pshat that it otherwise would have been Ruba Kekula if you would have left over two hairs? The pshat is that those two hairs are looked at as bald spots and wouldn't be a chatzit in the mikvah. What are you talking about? No, the pshat is that you only have to shave the large majority of the hair. Ruba Kekula. It suffices to do a rove. Elamai says the Torah, in this case that's not true. In Kol Torah Kula, says the Gemara, it is true. Ruba Kekula. in many cases, as long as you do rove, it suffices, it's enough. What Reb Chaim is trying to learn a din over here is not the Ruba Kekula of Nazir. It's not the Ruba Kekula of sometimes you don't need Kulo, you only need rove. What Reb Chaim is trying to learn over here is a special Chiddush din of Ruba Kekula, that there are cases in which the rove is Kulo. The rove is mahapech lemiyit to be like the rove. And in that case of Ruba Kekulo, you're morphing, you're defining what the miyat is based on the rove. That's a different sugya of Ruba Kekulo. The Gemara in Nazir is about the sugya of Ruba Kekulo where rove suffices. You do not need kulo. But the case that we're talking about is you do need kulo. You need three dayanim. You can't pass an ashayla with two dayanim. How do you get to three? Rove doesn't suffice. That's not the answer. Rove doesn't suffice. You need three dayanim. So how do you get to three if you only have two? Answers of Chaim, you see that there's this concept of Ruba Kekulo, a second din of Ruba Kekulo. Not only that sometimes rove suffices, sometimes rove doesn't suffice, but sometimes rove is mahapech lemiyit to be like kula. That you don't have a source for in the Gemara. That Gemara is not about this din of rove. Says Reb Chaim, I need to look for a makar, I need to look for a source. Here I found it in Azlina Basaruba by dayanim. Maybe that's the teretz on Reb Beryl's Kasha and Reb Chaim. Maybe it's not, but at least it's food for thought. It's definitely a chiluk that's worth chewing on, because I think if you learn Ruba Kekulo and other sugis of Rove like this, with that in mind, you'll see the chiluk is definitely a good chiluk in Svara. The question is whether it answers the Kasha or not. I can't be sure, but a suggestion perhaps to answer the Kasha and Reb Chaim. Okay, we'll stop here.